afternoon, I think it is to everyone. It's my great honor and pleasure as the chancellor of this university to welcome Governor Rauner and Senator Rose. It is certainly always a pleasure to have both of you on our campus, particularly when we are gathering to celebrate such important and such good news. I also would like to take this time to welcome Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin is here. Mayor, good to see you again, as well as Savoy Mayor Joanne Dykstra, I'm sorry, Joanne. And Mohammed Mayor Sean Widener is here as well. So we're very, very pleased to have the mayors of our surrounding communities participate in this important occasion. And also, I'd like to thank the Prairie Research Institute and Executive Director Mark Ryan for hosting today's event. You can imagine we're very excited and proud to be the host of this signing of legislation that protects the Mohammed Aquifer, and I think it's fair to say, which we all know is the most critical natural resource for everyone living and working in this part of central Illinois. Yes, this bill impacts us directly in this community, but the signing of this legislation here isn't just an incident of location or geography. It is more than our location above the sole source aquifer in the state that has brought us here today. Really, we are very proud that so much of the scientific research, the evidence that, and the data that stands behind this bill came from the researchers across the scientific survey structure that makes up our Prairie Research Institute. PRI, to my knowledge and my experience, is the most impressive and certainly one of the most comprehensive research centers in the nation that really focuses on environmental science in the public interest. In fact, it's fair to say, and accurate to say, that one of the scientific surveys actually predates this university, which demonstrates the great vision that our early leaders of this state had when they created an institution with a very clear mission of putting knowledge to work for real people to solve real problems. And PRI continues to deliver on that mission today for the demands of the 21st century. I don't think you'll find very many people anywhere who would argue that losing such a valuable source of clean and safe water wouldn't constitute a major crisis. From human health to economic growth, this region's future success and welfare lies about 150 feet underground. I've seen estimates that this aquifer supplies nearly 900,000 of us with our water resources. And I'd say that every single one of us among that 900,000 owes the scientific staff at the Prairie Research Institute, owe them a great deal of gratitude, and I think they deserve a round of applause for their efforts in mapping and analyzing and protecting this critical, unique natural resource. And of course, we also owe our state legislators and our governor that same gratitude for taking that research data and acting upon it in a way in terms of this bill that will be signed today, because I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that this is what the land-grant university is all about. It's the basis of our land-grant mission. How do we leverage the scientific and scholarly expertise to be on the ground to solve real world problems? And we're seeing this playing out in real time here today. So just like to again thank all of you, thank to Senator Rose and Senator Bennett and others and Representative Ammons, who were the co-sponsors of this bill. And of course, deep sense of gratitude, Governor, for signing it today at this great place that I know you and others care so greatly about. So Thank you again, Governor, and it's now my great pleasure to invite the PRI Executive Director, Mark Ryan, to say a few words as well. And again, thanks to all of you for being here today.
Thank you, Chancellor. Appreciate those very kind, and if I may be so bold, very accurate words about how wonderful PRI is. Governor, welcome to PRI. It's great to see you again. The Chancellor did a nice job recognizing some of our visiting dignitaries, and I appreciate that very much. I would be remiss, I think, if I didn't welcome back to PRI some of our very special supporters and friends. I don't know that Representative Carol Ammons or Senator Scott Bennett were able to join us today if they slipped in. Then I guess all the glory and all the fame goes to Senator Rose. And I'm sure he'll take it. The three of them have been tremendous supporters and champions for us, and we deeply appreciate all of that very, very much. You know, the focus today is on the Mahomet Aquifer, and I'm really proud of our research team, the scientists and the staff that are doing such important work. Many of them could be here today, a couple here, a couple in the back. Just want to recognize them and say thanks for doing such important work, understanding the aquifer, detailing the management challenges that go with it, and offering the objective science-based recommendations for protecting it. Their work is very special and very powerful, but I would say it's not particularly unique at PRI. In fact, I think it typifies what we do here at the Institute. We do science, which leads to engagement and application, and ultimately leading to impact, and that's what we're about. We're in the business of doing science to address consequential problems. I can't think of a more consequential problem than drinking water for nearly 1 million people. That pretty much goes right to the top. What we do, I think, improves the quality of lives for people here in the state of Illinois. We work to increase the economic strength of our state, and as the Chancellor said, we're working on the resiliency of the environmental systems that we all depend upon here in Illinois. So in that regard, and the Chancellor and I did not coordinate comments, but I think PRI embodies really that great land-grant university mission that we have here at the University of Illinois. I think we fit that exactly and powerfully, and frankly, we're thrilled to be a part of that tradition. So, governors, members of the General Assembly, or the member of our General Assembly who's here, and Chancellor, really from all of us at PRI, thank you for the support. Thank you for letting us do what we do. Without your backing, without your support, we can't make a difference. And that's what we thrive on, is trying to do science in service of the people of Illinois. And at that point, I believe I yield the floor and the microphone to the great senator from Mahomet, David Rose.
Thanks. I want to, if I can, just a moment before beginning, recognize a few other dignitaries, then we'll walk through the bill. I saw our trustee from Parkland College, Jim Ayers, wandered in, who, of course, is from Monticello, sitting atop the Mahomet Aquifer. We have our county treasurer, J.J. Farney, our county clerk, Gordy Holton, in the back. I've got two former colleagues of mine from the General Assembly, Representative Flyder and Senator Winkle, who are now employed by the U of I and as such have to wear ties to these things. Thankfully, the rest of us do not. If I missed any other elected officials, I apologize. We're gonna introduce a few here to speak in a second. But Todd Zaluka is the mayor of Hayworth, and that's in McLean County, for those of you who don't know, just south of Bloomington. He is a member of our Mahomet Aquifer Task Force, as appointed by Governor Rauner, and has done a great job on that. But that shows you a little bit of the breadth of it, but it really doesn't show you the entire breadth of the Mahomet Aquifer. It goes all the way, essentially, from Missouri to Indiana, right across the central part of Illinois. And so, Todd, we're glad you're here. So why are we here? And that starts with the homeowners in Northwest Champaign County, my constituents, who were sitting atop the People's Gas Natural Storage Field, that sometime in 2016 began leaking natural gas into the Mahomet Aquifer. Ground zero for that was the Eisenman family, who's here. We invited a number of the homeowners. I can't go through the entire list of everybody, but they have been going through, without getting in trouble of the FCC and what you can say and not say, they've been going through hell for the last year and a half trying to fight to get their home life back. to just ordinary, what everybody else has. And so when you look at what happened, or in this case didn't happen, when people's gas discharged a couple million cubic feet of natural gas into people's drinking water and then didn't tell anyone locally that that happened. Unfortunately, our fire chief, John Kloer, was supposed to be here, but he was caught up in an accident last night. He's actually laid up this morning. But the fire department got no notice. Kerry Gifford from Sangamon Valley Water, he's got an intake well right next to where this occurred. Kerry, when we had our press conference in the spring, his comment was, you know, if this, I didn't know about it, it never would have gotten into my customer's drinking supply, but what would have happened instead is it would have possibly blown my entire water treatment facility sky high in the concentration it was in. We had no notice. Fortunately, that didn't happen. These poor folks didn't know what even happened for months. Months they were living with these issues in their water. If you go online, this is the truth. This is not blown out of proportion by any means. It's not exaggeration. You can light the Eisman's water on fire, okay? And they live with that for months without any knowledge that this had occurred, okay? That's not right. Period, end of story. Where we've been since then has been a very long journey and too long of a journey. There have been civil lawsuits filed by homeowners. The Attorney General has sued. But I want to take a big step back and thank all of my friends at PRI, all of the staff at PRI who have really stepped forward. This was, you know, yes, it's in their mission, but George and Randy and the rest of the crew have just been phenomenal in helping assist the State Department of Natural Resources, the state EPA, ultimately the Attorney General's office in the litigation that was filed against Peoples Gas. You know, it's amazing to me, you put this much, you have this size of an incident, this much natural gas, and yet the initial response wasn't to immediately model it and figure out what's going on. And that didn't happen. Peoples Gas did not step up. They did not step up and fix this. PRI stepped up to assist in fixing this. The state EPA stepped up to fix this. The State Department of Natural Resources is stepping up. And it's taken too long, and we all know that. But we're getting our model. In June, we finally released a 3D modeling of where this thing is at, and that's really the first step to figuring out what to do about it, how to vent it, and how to try to get out of there. So the bill today, and I'm going to have two other people talk, but the bill today does two primary things. One, it completely enhances the notice requirement. No longer will they be allowed to FedEx something to Washington, D.C., or some hapless bureaucrat in Springfield and not tell anybody locally. They will be required, it'll be far stringer than federal regulations, they will be required to notify local authorities immediately for safety purposes, your fire, your water authorities, but then also the homeowners, and say, hey, this happened. You know what, folks, we're not asking for anything major. If something goes down in your water department tells you there's a boil order. Hey, boil order, something happened, you know, please take precaution, we'll get back to you as soon as we can once we know what's happening. That's all we're asking. Just tell people. That's the first thing. Second thing is we don't want this to happen again. We don't want it to happen again. So the more important aspect of the bill that's about to be signed requires the State Department of Natural Resources to annually inspect and oversee any natural gas storage field located on the Mahomet Aquifer. It sounds crazy that wasn't the rule before, but it wasn't. For this to have happened, you had a significant maintenance failure. In fact, multiple maintenance failures, because the casing that ultimately is believed to have been the cause of this had to fail in multiple places for this to have happened. So you know what? Sorry, Peoples Gas. You didn't do the job. You weren't paying attention. You were asleep at the switch. Now the state's going to come in and look over your shoulder and make sure that this thing is being done correctly. I also want to say that in addition to that, I'm going to have a few other remarks about Governor Rauner before I introduce him, but in addition to that, our Mahomet Aquifer Task Force has worked very hard this year, and we expect by the end of the year to issue a number of additional policy guidelines, not just for this area of the state, but for the whole aquifer. It is, as I think the Chancellor was talking about, a water supply for a significant number of Illinoisans and our lifeblood here. So with that as an explanation of what the bill does, I want to call up the Mayor of Mahomet, Sean Widener, and then right after that, Jim Risley.
Go ahead, Sean. The Mahomet Aquifer represents a significant resource to the village of Mahomet, but also other surrounding communities, as the Senator articulated. The proximity of the natural gas incident is concerning, and we applaud the efforts by Senator Rose and others who brought attention to this matter. More importantly, we want to thank the Aquifer Task Force for your time and commitment for addressing the issues of notifications. This is an important first step in keeping the line of communications open for what many times is the first responders, the local agencies. Last but not least, I want to thank the governor for his support and leadership on this issue. Now we'll pass it off to Mr. Risley, I believe, for some comments from the task force.
Jim is our task force member from the Mahomet area and actually lives in the impacted region as well, although he's not personally been impacted by it. So, Jim.
Thank you. Yesterday I got the invitation to show up for this signing. And I was going to watch like you are right now. And I was in an elevator just now, and Senator Rose said we'd like for you to make some comments. So I do not have a sheet of paper in front of me, so what I'm going to say comes directly from the heart. 6 months ago, I was asked to be on the task force, and I was coming out of the weight room helping our kids get stronger at Mahomet. And I said, yes, I would like to be on that task force. So I'm a little out of my element, but it's an element that I'm very proud to be part of right now. I can't go on without thanking Chapin Rose's bulldog effort in protecting the Mahomet Aquifer. And yes. More importantly, the things that we are doing to help protect the aquifer from contamination from people's gas is going to be a template that hopefully we can apply to all potential contaminations. It's very important, not just at the present time, but that we protect this valuable resource, 900 to a million people, not just for now, but for our future, for the kids' future. The groundwork we lay now will be looked over from years and years to come. And they'll look back at us and say, did we do the good job that we were supposed to, or did they just hand it off? And I'd like to think that's not what we're doing. We're handing off a product, not just more responsibility to somebody else down the road. I'd also like to echo the Chancellor's words that it's very important what the scientists in this community have done in this venue out in the task force. I'm one of those real people that you talked about. And they have, Randy Locke, George Roadcap, have been very patient with me, my questions, my ignorance. And I am a different person 6 months later. My knowledge base as a stakeholder has gained because of their ability to communicate with me. And that brings the science world into the real world, my world. And hopefully we will make the great decisions that will affect your lives, make them better for you and those youngsters with you. I'd just like to say it's been a privilege. It's been an honor to be able to speak to you. And hopefully the aquifer future is a bright one right now because of these people's efforts. Thank you.
From a wrestling coach to geohydrologist, it was quite a. in all honesty, I can't say enough about the time that the task force members are putting in, and I'm really excited about the work product for the fall. But in that event, it's my privilege to introduce Governor Rauner, who's here to sign this bill today. But I want to say a couple things about him first and also about my two legislative co-sponsors, direct co-sponsors. Scott Bennett, who I know is a practicing attorney, I think had some kind of court thing come up. But Scott has been a true partner on this. Water is not a Republican-Democrat issue. Scott and I have been together on everything Mahomet Aquifer that there is. And I can't say enough about his efforts. We had a bit of a hiccup in this bill getting to this day. The first version of this bill was passed the Senate unanimously. Again, there's no R&D behind water, but then it got bill-jacked in the House. And for those of you who don't know what bill-jack means, one of Speaker Magan's deputy majority leaders grabbed it and sat on it, and actually ran out the clock. And we had to do some legislative sleight of hand, a little bit of luck. And some subterfuge later, we actually revived the bill language. We worked, and by the way, the only environmental council was also a partner in helping draft this language. We work with them, and ultimately Representative Ammons. So at the risk of you think I'm being partisan by throwing Madigan into it, our local Democrat Representative Carol Ammons was wonderful in agreeing to step up and help participate in this little subterfuge. And ultimately, by the time we launched this other one out under Keith Summers' name, Before anybody knew it, it actually had shown up in Carol Ammon's name, and lo and behold, it ultimately passed, and we're here today. So our local team, there was no R&D. Representative Mitchell, Representative Hayes, Representative Halbrook, and certainly Ammons and Bennett deserve a lot of credit as a unified front for the aquifer. So with that said, this is not Governor Arnold's first aquifer bill to be signed. His first year as governor, he came here and actually Monticello and signed the TCLIP testing bill. And whoever brought up science, I don't know if it was Mark or the chancellor, but the whole goal here is to let science guide this, not politics. And the TCLIP testing bill, for those of you know what that means, I still don't know what it means. It's a scientific standard that you test waste, any kind of collected waste, before it's deposited a landfill to make sure it doesn't contain hazardous waste. Okay? And if you go back enough time, 10 years on this, even 15 years at this point, there was a huge issue related to possible acceptance of PCB waste over the Muhammad Aquifer at the Clinton landfill. And ultimately, one of the bills I'm most proud of was a regulation standard that before anything gets accepted on top of the Muhammad Aquifer, it has to be TCLIP tested to make sure that there's no hazardous waste that would be accepted on top of our drinking supply. Governor Rauner signed that bill. In fact, the first conversation I had with Governor Rauner was about the Muhammad Aquifer, I think, before he was Governor Rauner. But he signed that bill. He signed the Muhammad Aquifer Task Force bill. When it came to appointing the members, he said, "Who do you guys want?" And me and Scott Bennett sat down and we came up the list, handed it to him, and to the man or woman, that's the list we got. So he has been a true advocate for protecting our resource and couldn't be happier he's here today to sign this bill. Governor?
Thank you all for joining us today. Our first priority in all our communities is to keep our families safe and healthy. Nothing more important than that. The Muhammad Aquifer is simply one of the most important natural resources keeping our families safe and healthy in the state of Illinois and other states in the Midwest. It is delicate, it is fragile, it is critically important, and the water there must be protected, must be clean and pure to protect our families. It's been an honor for me to work with the Senator. This has been a bipartisan effort. It's really not about partisanship. This is about getting things done. I would like to thank Senator Rose. He, in particular, has been a strong champion for protecting, enhancing the quality of the water in the Muhammad Aquifer. Senator, I'd like to give you one more round of applause. Thank you. There he is. Yeah. Scott, there. Good. Thanks for coming.
Here. Scott Bennett.
And Scott Bennett is another one. This was done on a bipartisan basis. I'd like to thank Senator Bennett as well and the members of the General Assembly who've done this on a bipartisan basis. I have been a lifelong advocate for our natural resources and protecting our natural environment for the health of our families. And as the Senator said, I've been proud to come here and be an advocate with him, supporting the Senator and the other legislators in protecting the Muhammad Aquifer. And we've taken several actions, several bills. It's been an honor to do that. This bill is an important step in that process, requiring inspections and making sure there are prompt, immediate notifications. And we need to continue. This is a step. This is going to be an ongoing process. We're going to need other restrictions, other requirements, because as we grow and as we develop, we've got to make sure that this water stays clean and pure. It's the only sole source in the state of Illinois. And I want to give another shout out and thanks to the University of Illinois for their extraordinary work. Especially here at PRI, the Prairie Research Institute. I've been a fan of PRI for 20 years long before I became governor. Their work, not only in monitoring, testing, doing research, collecting data and information, recommending policy on water, but it's also in our geology, on issues of our natural history and natural resources, our sustainable technology. So much of what keeps Illinois resources protected and healthy comes and is benefited by the work of the PRI Institute here at the U of I. Can I have a round of applause for the leaders there at the PRI? So let's move this forward. Again, I hope we've got a process going with Peoples Gas. We hope that they step up and begin to ameliorate this problem quickly. We don't want this to go on any longer. But then let's work together as a community. Let's work with PRI and our other advocates and friends and leaders at the General Assembly. Let's take whatever additional steps are needed to keep this water pure and clean to protect the people here in Illinois and across the Midwest. Thank you very much. With that, I'll sign the legislation.